Welcome back to an all-new episode of DirtCast. I am your co-host, Madeline Davies.
I'm your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
And today, we're going to be talking about no day but today.
No day but today.
We're talking about Rent, more specifically Rent Live, which was on Fox on Sunday. Joining us later to talk about Rent is director, writer, producer, and most pertinent to this conversation, hardcore Rent head, Bex Schwartz. But before we get into that, yes. Megan, yes. Other than our live show.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's been such a long time.
I know.
Since we've been on the cans.
I am so happy to be sitting in this room across from you, as I am every week.
I know. It is sort of like, it's like an intimate dinner, but we're both not getting food.
No one here is eating. I'm actually slightly hungry.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be back with you, my love.
Same. Oh, good. I'm just thrilled.
How are you, Maddie?
I'm doing okay. If I may brag a little bit.
I welcome it. Thank you.
I got published in the New York Times for the first time this week.
You did? I saw it.
I know it's not cool to be excited.
It's okay.
I feel like if you hang out with New York media people, it's like, oh yeah, I was in the styles section 1,000 times. I have never been in the styles section before.
Not a thousand times.
I am freaking stoked.
It's really good. I read it in
Thank
the car,
you.
And it's very good. And I'm very proud of you and happy for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How are you? A little sleepy.
I am fresh off of a weekend with my friends in Vermont. We hustled to get here. There was some hairy driving on the Taconic. I was deposited at the podcast studio. I have not showered, and I'm a little starving. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you look like a little bear cub that kind of came out of hibernation too early.
Well, I tried to not fall asleep in the car so that I could be fresh, and then I fell asleep briefly on the West Side Highway, and it was just enough time for me to wake up and be like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, you tasted.
Fuck.
Tasted
like
sleep.
Post-nap time. So, but I'm doing really well, is what I'm trying to say.
You're wearing Realtree?
I'm wearing a Realtree camo sweatshirt.
I barely see you.
I'm camouflaged, as it were. I've not showered. I've mentioned that already. I'm good.
Good.
Is where I'm going with this.
Let's just settle. We're both fine.
What everyone needs to know is that we're both fine.
And maybe even a little dirty.
Just a little dirty. You know who's dirtier than me currently? All of the celebrities involved in this week's Dirtiest Dirt.
It's true.
Let's do it. Let's just do it.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for its sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
Okay, a lot going on. First up, I suppose this deserves maybe 2 seconds of our time. Pete Davidson is making jokes about his dick in his stand-up sets since he's returned performing in the wake of his breakup and mental health scare, I believe, stemming from possibly his relationship with Ariana Grande or his meteoric rise to fame.
Or his...
Or just his shit.
His, you know, baggage.
All his things.
I really thought we would get to stop talking about Pete Davidson once...
Once they were done.
Once he and Ariana were done. But, yeah. Like, you just keep bringing him back in.
He made some stupid joke about his penis that was like, girls, now, like, she shouldn't have done that because now girls will be disappointed when they sleep with me. And to that, I say, of course they'll be disappointed, Pete. I don't think your dick is as big as she said it is. I wish you the best of luck in
life. Megan's Google alert goes off anytime Pete Davidson does anything.
It does no such thing. It is just the nature of the job.
And yet she loves him.
I do. That's true. But I just want him to relax. I want every celebrity that I find problematic that I also enjoy to relax just like 35%. He's the only one I can think of right now, but I'm sure there are more.
No, and I'm sure we'll talk about him again next week because he'll, I don't know, breathe.
Okay. We can put a Pete Davidson moratorium on. I feel comfortable with that. That is that. That's all I have on that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Maddie.
Do you have a poem?
I don't have a poem. Maybe next week I'll have
a poem. An ode?
Perhaps next week I'll prepare one. I could probably give you like 3 haikus, but that's not
Sounds
for,
beautiful. All right.
It's not for
Can't
right
wait.
Now. Yeah,
Can't
that's
wait.
I've said it, so I'll do it.
More art devoted to Pete Davidson. That's what the world is looking for.
Anyway, let's move on from Mr. Davidson, shall we?
We shall.
Looks like Bryan Singer is in the news for being a grosso.
Being a sexual predator.
Being a sexual predator. There was something published in The Atlantic last week, I believe, the beginning of last week. And he'd had interviews with his alleged victims, all of whom said that he was sexually inappropriate with him when they were young.
I mean, and this has been, I feel like I've been hearing about these rumors for 10 years.
Yeah, they've been this out. This is not news.
I mean, it is news.
Right, okay,
but
right.
It's not new.
New is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate him even if he wasn't a sexual predator because I hated Bohemian Rhapsody so much.
It was such a bad movie.
And I was so offended by it.
Yes.
But it's like an added. I mean, I guess the real reason I hate him is because of the sexual predator.
Sure.
And then the Bohemian Rhapsody is just like the cherry on top of the poop cake.
It was, I mean, again, Maddie and I reiterated, said this in the live show. It was a bad movie. I'd like to say it again. It's a bad movie.
So bad.
It doesn't deserve any of the awards that it has won. Does not deserve any of the awards that it might win at the Academy Awards.
Ugh, and then Rami Malek saying,
oh, yeah.
When he said something along the lines, he's like, oh, I'd never even heard that.
Right.
Which is like, yeah, fucking right.
I mean,
all these people have heard it. Everyone knows. Everyone loves money more than they love anything else.
Right. Like every celebrity who, like, all, think of all the women who, like, I think, like, Kate Winslet and, like, a bunch of other women, like, who have worked with
Kristen
Woody Allen.
Stewart.
Said the same shit.
And men.
Yes, yes. Like, lots of people who have worked with people who have had stories floating around about them for years, stuff that has been sort of just, like, common knowledge you don't really talk about, have said, I didn't really know. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure they did.
I mean, yes. Also, like these parties where Bryan Singer allegedly was preying on these very young men.
Sure.
Boys, we could say.
We could. We should.
Had a lot of other celebrities at them.
Also true. There are many eyewitnesses to these alleged acts.
Many accomplices or,
accomplices.
You know, people who were—
Complicit?
Complicit.
That's the word.
A celebrity interview that will always stick in my head was Kristen Stewart and my main enemy, Jesse Eisenberg.
Your number one enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's bad.
My enemy.
He's bad.
Talking about Woody Allen, because it was when that movie Cafe Society was coming out
that
they're both in.
Right.
And they're just like, they talked about the abuse allegations and they were just like, I mean, what it comes down to is just like, we just don't know.
You know, like such an
who are we? Like only 2 people really know, and like we're
right.
not one of them. And I'm just
right.
like, I would never walk that line.
Just
I don't know.
An if insane I, if, thing yeah. to say out loud, but that's okay.
If there was just like the whisper of like a rape or sexual
right.
assault allegation around anybody, I'd be like, you know what? I'm a hot young celeb.
Yeah.
I'll make a movie with someone else.
Yeah. Let me take my wares elsewhere. I'll pack my bag. You won't miss me.
Not
I'll be fine.
A lick.
So that's cool.
Yeah, but he also, Bryan Singer said it was a homophobic smear campaign. And I'm like, I think Bohemian Rhapsody was a homophobic smear campaign.
There we
smear
go.
Campaign.
Look at that. Take that, Bryan Singer. Yeah, just, oh God, same, different year, same bullshit. This next item, though, which I'd like to move on to because it seems very fun, Andy Cohen is having a baby.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He announced that he was having a baby a couple weeks ago on Watch What Happens Live.
If all goes according to plan, in about 6 weeks' time, I am going to become a father.
The baby is imminent because he had a baby shower.
That announcement was really funny, too.
The announcement
was weird.
Because
it sounded like he was dying or that he was at least leaving Bravo.
Or something, like, huge and made. Like, I thought, like, his life was threatened in some way.
And
the
then,
way he did it.
It being joyous news.
Yeah, and everyone was happy. There are a lot of housewives on that episode. All of them probably cried, right? Seems like
I think everyone was very excited.
Right.
I loved, like, seeing, like, Teresa Giudice, her, like, insanely buff arm just kind of reach into frame to, like, squeeze Andy like a, I don't know.
Teresa's bodybuilding exploits are, like, my favorite thing that she has done thus far.
Yeah.
She's done so much for me to enjoy, but this pivot is my favorite.
Think of how much more effectively she could have flipped that table if she had that muscle mass then.
She could have flipped at least, like, three tables, like, at the same time.
Also, like, Kyle Richards, an original housewife of Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. Threw Andy a very fun-looking baby shower.
Indeed.
Which just shows, like, if you don't have to carry a baby,
yeah,
that looked like a great-ass time.
A wide variety of housewives were there. Danielle Staub was there. Sonia Morgan was there. Denise Richards was there. Teresa was there. Nene, Leanne Locken. I'm just, you know.
Phaedra Parks was there.
Weird.
Candy was not.
Interesting.
Love I mean, that. I guess she's in the Big Brother house, I think.
Oh, is Candy trapped somewhere else right now?
Yeah, she literally is trapped somewhere.
Oh, God. But oh, it's Celebrity Big Brother. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
I was surprised that
Phaedra was there.
Dared show her face.
I mean, Phaedra loves a party.
And I guess Andy loves Phaedra.
Yeah. So Phaedra would find a way.
Yeah.
The way was Andy's generous heart letting her in.
There was amazing video of Lisa Rinna, like, as the party, like, clearly had gotten lit.
Sure.
Screaming into a microphone, "All you bitches better dance on this motherfucking table. Dance for Andy right now. He paid for your fucking life.
Go now, you fucking bitches. Go. Get up on a fucking table and dance for Andy now, you fuckers. Get up on a table and dance for Andy and his baby. Now, you fuckers. You paid for your life. Get up on a table.
Sonia.
And dance fucking now. Ramona, get your ass. Yeah, Ramona, go.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I just was, like, struck with, like, a glee that I haven't felt since childhood.
That's amazing. That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
I need to watch that video.
It was so good. And true.
I mean, he did.
But also, I love that he's just, like, this, like, I don't know. I don't love it, actually. It's terrible. But it's,
right.
like, this man who has, like, gotten so rich off of, like, exploiting women and
right.
I mean, granted, women who are very willing to be exploited.
Yes,
so
it was a give and take situation, right?
And then it's just like they know it too. They know you got to kiss the ring.
Yeah, they know exactly. They know where their bread is buttered. They know what they need to do. So you have to put on the bandage dress. You have to go to a Star Is Born themed baby shower for Andy Cohen. You have to dance on a table if Lisa Rinna asks you to dance on a table. You must.
Also, notably, I feel like more notable maybe was the people missing.
Mm.
No Bethany Frankel.
Interesting.
No Countess. And then
Ooh.
She reposted a meme that was like, the face when you see that Bethany and Luann weren't at the...
At the thing.
Yeah, it was just something like about like her missing it.
Interesting.
And like alluding to something shady. But then her caption was just like, "Sorry to have missed it, Andy," which doesn't tell us anything.
Nope, that's just confusing messaging.
Yeah. She then said she was like, I'm rehearsing for my cabaret.
I'm but just sure like, you are, ma'am. Okay. Not there's not enough rehearsal in the world to.
Yeah, I also just don't think it would be a healthy environment for her, so.
Doesn't sound like it, no. If Lisa Rinna is screaming at a bunch of middle-aged women to dance on a table because Andy Cohen paid for their lives.
It was just also just wild to see all of them in one place.
That sounds the most fucked up. That sounds like some sort of like horrible Hall of Mirrors, like Disneyland. Like if Bravo had a theme park, that
they
is
do.
Like
it's called Sir.
Sure. Okay. If Sir had a back room that was just
a corral,
like,
of
yeah. Just like whoever they could find at that time to just go there, and you could go there and party with them. That seems fun for about 3 minutes before your brain starts to leak out of your ears, and you
You're
have
crazy.
To like.
Find I would
exit.
Say goodbye to my brain. I would be like, liquefy, baby. We're doing it.
I would feel very nervous in there. I would drink one drink very quickly and be like, I must go. And I would leave.
There was also an incredible picture of Andy with all of the housewives.
Oh, yeah.
And the only other guy in the picture is John Mayer.
Also, as it should be.
I was laughing.
That's nice. So I can't wait for the world to meet Andy Cohen's baby boy.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear all about it. I hope that Andy does not do a photo shoot like Perez Hilton did with his first baby.
No. Andy is successful and sane.
That Perez Hilton photo shoot has been burned in my brain since I saw it for the first time.
It's if people don't know what she's talking about, it's Perez Hilton in the bath with
nude.
His daughter.
Yes.
I think he's wearing little shorts or
he
something.
He might be wearing a small brief, actually. Thank you.
I think the best thing about that picture is that his Invisalign studs are very visible. And as someone who suffered through those studs myself.
I also, the one thing that always strikes me about Perez Hilton is that he looks like Peter Dinklage.
He looks like if Peter Dinklage had a child with Ron Perlman.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I also think Peter Dinklage is way more handsome.
That's true, but I always got a Peter. I just, like, in passing. It's like how I think that Samantha Markle looks like Kim Cattrall.
I think that's different.
Interesting. Okay. I'm just providing the two things.
I'm so sorry, Peter Dinklage.
The two comparisons that I have in my brain. I'm just presenting them to you now.
Sorry, Tyrion.
Two truths that I've learned. Okay. So yeah, good for them. Great for everyone. You know what?
That's a party I would like to go to, and a party Megan would not. So
yes, that does
bear
not,
that in mind when you're sending out invitations.
That
for
should
the
not
next,
surprise anyone.
For the next one.
This last item on the list can be brief because I don't want to spend too much time thinking about their relationship. But People Magazine would love it if I thought about Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger's relationship, like, all the time.
I don't like those weird churchy Hillsong people.
I'm not into it. But they've been covering it since the engagement with, like, a breathless level of attention that I do not, like, I understand it is their jobs. Like, I'm not stupid. I just don't like it.
It's a quick engagement.
It is a very quick engagement. I believe they're getting married later this year. It will be, from what I've read, it will be a ceremony that has plenty of room for Jesus.
Thank goodness.
I don't know what we would do if it didn't. And I hope that Chris Pratt doesn't run for public office.
Oh, he will. He's going to run as like a weird libertarian.
Yeah, he's going to, though.
He wears all those T-shirts up to say things like, land of the free. It always makes me laugh. It's like vague patriotic statements that are just like, basically, freedom isn't free.
That's going to be cool.
These colors don't run.
I'm so excited to see where they go, but I am tired of hearing about it. But unfortunately, I don't think I'll have a choice. No reprieve.
I very much am curious about, like, what growing up in the Schwarzenegger household was like.
Yeah.
And that I think I get Patrick Schwarzenegger and Connor Kennedy, or what's the one who dated Taylor Swift?
Oh, shit. Connor. Yeah.
I get, like, those two, like, I don't know. I guess they're all Kennedys because Maria Shriver.
Yes.
I kind of confuse them sometimes as, like, just blonde yacht boys.
Right, with, like, a jaw.
Yeah, blonde polo lacrossemen.
Yes. I can't picture Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But now I'm just thinking of Connor Kennedy.
And, like, he dated Miley.
Patrick. Oh.
Maybe we dated Taylor, too. I don't remember.
Wow.
No.
Yes? Yes?
I don't know.
Okay. Can't confirm.
But, yeah, so that was, like, I just, like, Maria Shriver seems like kind of smart and reasonable.
Sure, definitely.
But then your dad is Arnold Schwarzenegger, right, and is the governor of California and also an action star.
And like the Terminator.
And is also like a weird Republican, although yeah. I feel like by today's standards, he's like a centrist.
Yeah, he's probably fine. Like I would, if Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, I'll run for president, I'd be like, sure, why not?
Yeah, who knew? Yeah, who the fuck cares?
I just, whatever, I'll vote for whoevs. Let me just someone grab my hand and make it go on the voting thing.
Anybody different. That's
totally
not true.
Fine.
I would not.
No.
Voting is important, everybody.
Everyone should vote. Everyone should not
be informed.
As apathetic as I seem to be. Maddie is much more informed than I am. Follow her lead.
Do your research.
Research.
You know, maybe volunteer at the polls.
You could do that
we'll
if you
see.
Want.
You know, how far does your patriotism and civic duty take you?
I mean, all the way to the White House, yeah. Baby.
Does it take you as far as Chris Pratt putting on a T-shirt for the Marines, which he never served in?
Yeah, that's right.
Or, you know, does just, it just at least get you to vote?
I mean, that's a journey for you. We do not see the future, thank God.
Ooh, yeah.
Ugh, can you imagine? I would be really upset.
I'm just imagining both of us, like, painted like the war boys in Mad Max Fury Road, but doing this podcast.
Who's to say that we won't do that next week, you know?
It's true. It could happen so soon.
It might happen. Yeah, so in conclusion, I don't want to hear about their relationship anymore, but I know that I'm going to, so I'm just bracing myself for the inevitable, but I would just like to go on the record as saying I don't care.
Yes, just more Pete Davidson news, please.
I will actually start preparing a Pete Davidson digest that I will share with Maddie biweekly.
A Pete Davidson bulletin.
Yes, it will just be a memo that I spend my valuable time working on. and I'll do it instead of sleeping. You're going to love it.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. We are so excited to be sitting down with writer, director, and diehard Rent head Beck Schwartz to talk about Rent.
Rent, 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 Rent.
No Day But Today, etc. We are talking about this because it is always Rent is always a fun thing to talk about, but also because on Sunday night Fox aired Rent Live,
almost live, sort of live.
Rent, kind of live.
Yeah, again, I called it Rent Lived.
oh, is that? Oh, okay.
Because the man who played Roger broke his ankle during the dress rehearsal, and so they had to, like, I don't know, shuttle him on and off stage at opportune moments because they didn't have an understudy?
This is, yeah. I mean, I was watching this with a group of friends on Sunday, and everyone seemed very perplexed as to, A, why there was no understudy for Roger, and B, like, whether or not this was some sort of conspiracy to have it not be live, because they were like, why was the dress rehearsal taped? And why was the dress rehearsal taped, like, so well and so professionally? And I was like, guys, I cannot entertain this conversation. Sure, there's a reason. But these are some good talking points just to start, I think.
Oh, my goodness. And also knowing that Adam Pascal, the OG Roger, was there backstage the entire time, yep. They didn't
Crazy.
Bust him out.
It would be very funny if they, like,
made him
brought him out there.
Shoved him in those tight pants. We're like, here, you got this. Remember this, right?
I also was at the end of the show, they brought almost the entire original cast out.
Mm.
And poor Adam Pascal had to sit
on a table.
like, you know, 20 yards away from everybody because he was keeping the new Roger company, which was nice, but also
a little awkward.
A little.
Also, apparently, the studio audience saw an actual live version in which the
yes.
actor playing Roger was being wheeled about in a wheelchair. And I don't know why they didn't just broadcast that, because that is,
I know,
so No Day But Today to just go forward with it.
All of the clips I saw on Twitter of what the studio audience was actually seeing were fucking amazing.
Right?
Like, Roger, foot on a thing, like, ricing his foot, being pushed around by, like, whoever was available at the time, doing, giving it his all. Everyone was sort of dressed down a little, which I enjoyed. That looked more like a fun dress rehearsal to watch as opposed to what we watched on Sunday.
Yeah, especially because a final dress rehearsal that's sort of still in tech is like, you're marking it, you're not going full voice, you might be a little half-assing it, like saving your voice for the performance. So the fact that we saw the version where like they might have been holding back just, it makes me angry.
I agree.
If they did like just make Roger in a wheelchair, it would make it even more impressive that he went out.
Yeah, she got you out.
Yeah, you were in a fucking wheelchair. You like broke your ankle off stage during a commercial break. And I was most upset by his toes, which were visible. Every time the foot swang into camera, like I just like could not. They could have put some sort of blanket, like a drape over it. Yeah. Just unseemly.
Also, during One Song Glory, when he was sort of like hauling himself around that table, it looked like he was limping. And I was like, what? Like, is it? Wait, did they surprise us with a secret live shot?
Also, like, does the virus start in his foot?
I mean,
before the virus takes hold in my foot.
Yeah, he actually just has like diabetes.
Yeah, he's got gout. It's fine. Gout. He had gout instead of the virus. That's fine.
I do want to take us back a little bit. Mm. We're going back in time. It's the early 90s.
Oh, boy.
Jonathan Larson is approached by Billy Aronson, who wants to write an updated version of La Boheme, a Puccini opera about struggling artists in Paris. But they want to set it in the late 80s during the AIDS crisis in the Lower East Side about a new kind of artist. Then fast forward, Aronson drops out. Because he doesn't really like where it's going. Jonathan Larson keeps going. It slowly was shaped into the play we know today.
Mm-hmm.
And then very tragically, the night of like the friends and family dress rehearsal, Jonathan Larson died of something. They think it was caused by undiagnosed Marfan syndrome.
Very specific.
So that kind of brings us to, like, what the lore of Rent is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if that was boring to Bex, who clearly already knew that as a Rent head.
I was a theater major, after all.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Wonderful. Wonderful.
And so then it kind of became the sensation. It became a sensation that, you know, it's been performed in all different countries mm-hmm. and different languages. And so, Bex, what I want to ask you is, what was it about it that spoke to you first off?
What was it about that play? It was so aspirational. I mean, I desperately wanted to be an actress or a performance artist, and then here was a show about a performance artist, and you know, I had grown up in a boring little suburb in New Jersey, right outside of New York City, and I'd always loved coming into the city. And to me, the idea of being a starving artist in the East Village was just everything. I wasn't interested in the AIDS or the heroin part.
Sure.
The rest of it and, like, the urban tribe and, like, these people were sticking it to the fucking man.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what that meant yet.
Yeah, and then the culture that
just not paying rent. That's it.
Not paying fucking rent. When it first opened on Broadway, there was such an amazing culture that sprung up around it because it was long before Hamilton did it. They were doing rush tickets for $20 so that kids like us could go see it, and people would camp out online. And I had several male friends who met their first boyfriends on that line for Rent.
Oh my god, nice.
I know.
Oh,
it's like
I love
not a surprising place for them to meet, sure. But it's still a touching place.
It's still sweet. I felt a genuine thrum of emotion briefly when you mentioned that. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Rent helped a lot of people, young people, sort of start to come to terms with maybe their sexual identity, and maybe your first beginning steps out of the closet were to go become a Rent head and meet someone else who is in a very similar place.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I remember first hearing about it at the summer camp I went to when I was like 9 or 10,
because
mm-hmm. All of the counselors who were teenage girls obsessed.
Sure.
And I remember asking one of them what it was about, and she goes, "You're too young to understand." And then that moment, I was like, I swear on the earth I'm standing on. I'm going to listen to this goddamn musical and I'm going to get it. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to love it because I can do that too.
That's the best way to get you into a musical is to tell you, like, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, and again, as like a 9-year-old who's like looking up to these girls, I was just like,
trying to think of how I first, I don't actually remember like the first moment that I heard it, like that, like I don't remember the moment when Rent, I became aware of it. I just remember listening, owning this, the double CD and listening to it so much all of the time. I was surprised at how many of the words I still knew whilst watching it on Sunday.
That was crazy.
The answer is almost all of them.
All of them. Up. Every single one of them, except for the lines that they changed to make it safe for broadcast television.
It made me so mad.
I mean, I work in TV. I get it, standards and practices. But there were some that were super surprising, like poo-poo isn't acceptable for Fox.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They also, right?
That one's not the F word.
Right.
No.
I think they also didn't say piss during, like, the life during
They said puke.
Lovey Boheme.
Oh, did they
puke
not?
Puke on your stoop.
To be fair, while I was watching this, my friends who I was watching this with were singing every line and also performing it behind me. So every time I would turn around, there's just a lot of them. We were just really getting back to our roots.
I bet it was better than the actual live show.
It was. The Tango Maureen that I witnessed was electrifying.
Oh, and I hope heels were being worn.
Do you have, like, what was the first song that grabbed you?
Oh, man. The first one that, like, hooked me was One Song Glory, because I thought it was just so epic. And then it wasn't just One Song Glory. It was the way that it went seamlessly into Light My Candle, which,
that's nice.
I mean, so
when
good.
When you hear that, like, dun, dun, yeah. dun,
it's very good.
Knock, knock, knock. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then as I got, you know, I too had the double CD, which I also made a tape of so we could listen to it in the car, which didn't have a CD player. And I listened to it to death, to the point that my father used to just make fun of the lyrics all the time. And I would get so mad. He would always be like, living in America at the end of the millennium. And I'd be like, it's not the words, Dad. I particularly love the parts where different songs combine, so that like Roger's singing one theme is like Mimi and the life support group are singing another one. Like, that's the stuff that makes my heart just flutter with like awe.
I know it's like a really weird feeling where it's like your like something in your chest is swelling or something.
Yes, exactly.
I have that. I wonder if that's like something that, I mean, I guess musical frisions are a thing people have, but I feel like this is like a Broadway baby special.
Yeah.
Because I also get it during One Day More in Les Mis, when it's like everybody coming together.
Yeah. Oh, sure,
well,
sure.
Well, like Lin-Manuel calls it the all sing. Like he does it in Nonstop, the last song of Act One of Hamilton, sort of echoing the La Vie Boheme place. And like, yes, when all these people come in singing different lines, like I swear my heart swells to bursting out of my chest.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling too.
I'm trying to think of what my favorite song. I've always liked Without You. I also learned how to play that on the piano, I believe. It's maybe the one only. And then I've always been partial. And then, of course, Take Me or Leave Me. Those are the ones that I listen to the most, honestly.
Yeah.
As a teen.
Can I admit that I really have always disliked Roger and Mimi?
Yes.
Whoa.
That's fine.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think I've always found their relationship to be very boring.
Because you ship Mimi and Benny?
Yes, obviously.
I do have like a secret love for Benny that we can get into later when we talk about Mario, who stole the show on Sunday.
Because he can like sing.
I don't know. I think I like Collins and Angel were what always got me. And so when Collins sang
The reprise of I'll Cover You at the funeral. Ugh.
When he sings it alone, that always just devastated me.
Same. I forgot about that.
Also, I thought his was the best performance by far last night. I was like, oh my God, let me follow you around.
I will say that the reprise of I'll Cover You at the funeral lacked some of the oomph that it has when it's not sung, when it's sung by a baritone. I feel like it is a much more like, I was much more moved.
Like on the original Broadway cast recording.
Correct, which is honestly the only thing I can think of. Yes.
That's canon.
It is.
Mark also was like, his voice was so much lower than Adam Rapp's. Adam Rapp, right?
Anthony Michael Rapp.
Adam Rapp's is, and like that was off-putting to me.
I also thought this Mark was very sexual.
He was too hot.
He was a little hot.
He was very grindy.
Not very nerdy. And now I saw a bunch of stuff on Twitter. People were complaining about hot Mark. And I do just want to say, I always thought Anthony Rapp was super hot. I had a huge crush on him. Yeah. And I remember like waiting for him at Pride events to just be like, hi, I love you. Oh my God.
I also will say, and I know I said Adam Rapp before because I mixed up the Anthony Adams. But Anthony Rapp is like a hero too. He's
seriously,
like the one who is like the whistleblower on Kevin Spacey.
Oh my God, that's right.
Icon. Also, yeah, one of the stars of Adventures in Babysitting.
True. True. Great point. Great point.
I once went to a Rent sing-along.
Oh.
And afterwards, Anthony Rapp surprised everybody with a Q&A.
Oh, dear.
But my secondhand embarrassment for the audience, because they all acted like maniacs in a way that he clearly was put off by. My secondhand embarrassment was so bad that I had to leave.
Oh, dear.
I, like, left my friend.
You're like, I can't be in this room. I cannot be in this space.
Yeah, I, like, whispered to her.
What were the questions that people were asking?
It was more like any time he would try to answer, people were, like, interrupting him.
Oh.
Where it would be like, you know, like, you're all too young to probably remember the Lower East Side as it was. And then just, you know, a bunch of people being like, I'm not, you know. And it's just like, well, it's not about you.
Oh, my God. You
know? Just like every Q&A is kind of awful.
That's true.
That's true. I always really liked all of, like, the, I think it's because I have such a low voice and, like, there were the songs that I could sing along to. But I always really liked all of, like, the boy songs.
I loved
You'll See, I think, is one of my favorite songs.
It's a good song.
And then What You Own, I always was,
also
like, so
song.
Into.
That's a good one.
So I think, like, again, I was, like, kind of the more upbeat, but, like, macho.
I just love something that will potentially make me cry. And all of Without You, the reprise of I'll Cover You always usually did the trick, which was nice.
That's a
and
lot
Will too. I. Will I is one that always gets me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
The fact that it went in the broadcast last night from Will I straight into a spot for Dumbo, like, oh, my God, I was just a weeping mess.
Oh, man.
One thing that really bothered me about the live show and the funeral scene, and I actually didn't notice this, but then a friend pointed it out, is that friend of the show, Robert Ackerman.
Oh, yes.
Angel's family was at the funeral, which is like a really big part of the musical, is that they refused to come.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. Oh, huh.
So did we know for sure that that was her family?
No, I am just, this is what we do, Bex. We just say things
and hope that they're
and then
true.
Perpetuate them without fact checking. I will have to go back and check, but it was one of those. They also changed the part with the priest where priest is like telling Collins that it's like, you know, like there's,
I was like,
a
you have to pay
where,
for the funeral.
Yeah.
Although, in terms of updating, I very much liked that Angel is now established as a non-binary character.
Yeah.
That she is not a drag queen. She is a gender-fluid person who is finding her identity.
How did you guys think Valentina did?
Oh.
Here's the thing.
She looked beautiful.
She looked beautiful as she
always
does.
She looked so good. She looked so good.
However,
again, maybe this was part of the holding back because it was dress rehearsal.
Yep.
But I had secondhand embarrassment.
Me too.
For the songs.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'll Cover You was just nothing was really reaching where it needed to go.
I feel
today for you, tomorrow for me was a bit of a mess.
Just a bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
But I love Valentina. Nothing but love for Valentina.
Oh, of course not. We all love Valentina. Megan apparently does.
So did the audience. I mean, they were hooting so loud you could barely hear her.
That's true. They did. They loved her. And you know what? That's what counts.
Another thing to mention is the ensemble on this live thing.
Oh, yes.
We're just really hamming it up.
Bonkers. Oh, yeah, they were pulling some faces.
And like beard guy, I feel like there was a guy who just had a beard and just every single opportunity he was like,
he was the squeegee guy, the honest living.
Yeah, him.
Oh man.
It was, here's the thing. Musicals are inherently corny. I think I'm
you disagree staring with me. At you with disdain.
You know that I love a musical, but I also think that they're corny.
You think that's true, Bex?
This is my personal opinion. Bex, I'd love to hear yours.
Well, I mean, musicals are inherently about heightened emotion because that's what makes us burst into song. And so if perhaps you find heightened emotion to be corny, then I understand that point of view.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Sure. I will go with that argument.
I just think that, okay, sure. We can take the respectful route, which is the heightened emotion. To burst into song, et cetera. I think that something about making it live on TV, like, made it worse. I don't know.
But one thing we can kind of talk about is the movie.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, you know, I think it came out in, what, 2004, 2005?
Is that right? That sounds right. It was bad.
I'm not but yeah, a big fan of the film. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think anybody is. Mm-hmm. Not any rent head worth her salt.
True.
Seriously.
Worth her ACT. I don't
know. That's nice. That's good.
I mean, it's tough when you take a theatrical presentation that's meant to be done live and in the moment where there's that feeling as an audience member where you're, you know, meshing with the performers on stage and all of a sudden put up the Brechtian distance of being on TV or in a movie theater or whatnot. So there's always that, like, how are you going to film this? I think some of the live musicals have done a better job than others in terms of being like, we understand this is no longer on stage. We're now shooting this for the medium. But the movie version, it just took away everything that was Rent.
Yeah, except for the original cast, which made it so jarring.
I know.
Because they were like 100 years old. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, so Daphne Ruben-Vega, who is the originator of the role of Mimi, was replaced by Rosario Dawson because Daphne was pregnant at the time of shooting. But also, Mimi is supposed to be 19.
Right.
And, like, even Rosario Dawson is kind of too
pushing
old
it.
To play.
Yeah.
She looks like she's 16.
But, like, imagining a woman in her 40s.
I feel like I've blocked most of the movie out of my head because I watched it with my then-roommate, and we were both big Rent heads, and we both just, hated it. It didn't feel authentic in any way, shape, or form. Like, instead of shooting on Avenue B, it was like, let's shoot in the backlot version of Avenue B. It's fake.
Right. It was like the Universal Studios, like, New York street.
Exactly.
How many times have you seen it live?
I think four.
Four. All right. That's a good amount.
That is a good amount. I never had the
privilege. That's a lot of Rent.
For my 16th birthday, my dad got me front row tickets to the touring company in Madison, Wisconsin.
There you go.
And I remember, like, getting spit on by the singers and being just like,
oh my God, what a dream.
Just being like, give it to me in a cup, you know, like, just so, I don't know, just,
that's
I think,
so
you know,
close to
we
them.
Got very dressed up. It was
it was cute.
So nice. I don't know.
I saw
sobbing.
It for the first time as a birthday present also. And I remember waiting afterwards outside of the cast door to, you know, meet as many cast members as I could. And the woman who does the solo in Seasons of Love, I mistook her for the actress who was playing Joanne. And I don't know why I decided to say this, but I was like, as a gay law student, it's very important to me that you're portraying a strong lesbian lawyer.
Oh
my
God.
Like, I wasn't a law student. I had no idea what sort of sexuality I was. I just needed an in.
Yeah,
and
you just
also
needed to say
I was
something.
Wrong.
That's incredible.
I'm so embarrassed, and I'm so sorry to this day about that. I'm sorry.
I mean, you were young. You were excited.
I was young. I was young, and not a law student.
I'm looking.
Yes, it made sense at the time. I was so overcome with emotion.
Understandable.
I burst into song.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Did you get any autographs though?
I did. I got Anthony Rapp's autograph and I believe Daphne Rubin Vega's.
Wow. Those
and
are good.
The woman who was not Joanne, the woman who was the soloist from Seasons of Love, was very offended. And then I was like,
yeah,
I'm
she's like, I
the
am
worst
just
person because
black.
That's the well, I mean, like, I'm
a
saying
larger
that, like,
black woman. I don't know what else.
Larger
to
black women all look the same to me, apparently. Which is, oh, I'm so bad. My seats were really far away. Let me also say that.
Fair. It's okay.
Thank you.
Things happen.
Yeah, we all make mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
So embarrassed.
So a thing that I also noticed, and maybe I was wrong, so please correct me. I don't think Taye Diggs was there.
No, he was in some of the photos, I think. Anthony Rapp posted some photos of the fam, and I think I saw him in there.
Was he there at the end?
Damn.
The Seasons of Love portion?
I don't know if I saw him on stage.
He must have
but at
been.
That point, like, I was weeping. I mean, yeah. Who knows what I was seeing.
I was just thinking, I was like, ooh, Dina got Rent in the divorce. Like, that was...
she looked so good.
Oh, that could be.
I think he was there, no?
Again, I clearly am
I
wrong.
I was also half asleep, but I was briefly reinvigorated when most of the original cast returned to sing, because I was like, oh, this sounds so nice. Yeah. I love the way this sounds. Why wasn't it like this the whole time? And I thought I saw Taye Diggs, but also my eyes were slowly closing. It was my bedtime.
Oh, this sounds a little bit like the album I've been listening to since 1996.
Exactly.
This
I was like, oh, this
familiar.
I recognize this. Those
yeah,
harmonies.
Exactly.
I get it now. I will say that from the live cast, I think Vanessa Hudgens was good.
I thought so. The Maureen role, as I've become a not child, does fill me with extreme cringiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think
we
Vanessa
all know
Hudgens
Maureen, yeah.
totally fucking sold it.
I thought she was really good. I'm surprised.
I thought that she at least was having fun.
Okay.
Whereas
yeah.
everybody
and she
else
seemed to really
seemed like,
get it.
Drudgery.
Like just like
marking
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like,
warmed up corpses.
Yeah.
and like at least like she clearly was having a blast.
Yeah.
And it's funny because she has played both Mimi and Maureen before. She played Mimi at the Hollywood Bowl when they did the.
Oh my God. That's right.
Which was her like introduction to Rent.
Yeah. She didn't know what it was.
Oh, bless her.
What? Oh.
I definitely.
Yeah,
like,
I thought she was actually a very high point, and I was. I don't know what my expectations were, but I was so very pleasantly surprised.
Well, and I think no one had any energy, which made it really hard,
right?
Or at least like something wasn't translating
right.
from the performance in the arena to like watching it on television,
right?
But her, she like came like clearly excited,
yeah. No, when she, like, pulled up on the motorcycle, I was like, okay, here we go. I'm ready. I'm ready for this. And then she was like, yeah, she was like, and she injected it with, like, a little verve. Because, again, because it was a dress rehearsal, everyone was, like, doing their best, but they were also, like, marking it. And, like, no one was really going as full out as I think they could have. And that—
I agree. I thought during La Vie Boheme, she was totally selling it more than anyone else was. Like, I believed she was having the time of her life.
Totally.
La Vie Boheme was such a—it felt the energy was off.
Well, again, they had to
it was
censor
weird,
it
right?
so much.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, we're not talking about the star of this, which is Mario.
Right. Oh, my God.
I thought he was good.
He was great. He was really good.
He was also like, who knew?
Yeah. I mean, and I wanted to talk to both of you about like how your perception of Rent has changed as you've gotten older, where I know my thing now is like, pay your fucking rent.
Yeah, same.
Like,
same.
You know, like, why do you think you don't have to pay rent?
Yeah. Like, if I'm paying rent, you should pay rent.
And then
also, I was listening to Rent on my flight, and I realized, like, when Benny shows up and he's like, I need the rent that you owe me for the last year that I've been letting you live rent free. And they're like, fuck you.
Right.
What does he need that 1 year's worth of rent for? He's got all these investors.
True.
And Allison's dad.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he has a drug problem alongside Mimi.
Yeah. Or maybe he's—
I mean, yes, as a grown-up person, you're like, dude, what the fuck? You can't expect not to pay rent. What? Like, what kind of entitled, privileged bullshit is that you think you get to live rent-free because you're an artist?
I'm also just like, these are two like shitty white transplants.
Yeah.
And Benny is like a young black entrepreneur who's investing in property, which is like a very safe and sound investment.
Yeah. He wanted to make a WeWork.
And he was going to give them a studio.
Exactly. A WeWork.
It's just like, he was trying to like, you know, maintain the authenticity of the neighborhood by allowing these artists to have a space. So I, again, am pro-Betty.
With condos
on the top, whose rent keeps open the shop. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, when you think about it, when you listen to the lyrics, and you think about it at whatever age you are now, when you are no longer like 16, it tracks. Benny, I get it, Benny. I stand with Benny.
And do you really want a neighborhood where people piss on your
like,
street?
Angel murdered his dog, which is really not okay.
Also, a thing that I think I missed for the most part as a kid, I didn't miss it, and I knew it was present, but I didn't consider it the way I should have, is the content about HIV/AIDS.
Yes.
Where I think if we're looking at it critically, Jonathan Larson actually did not do a great job of handling it in a lot of ways.
True.
But also, it does bring it into the conversation again, and weirdly, I think, like, Ryan Murphy actually has a lot to do with why people are, like, thinking about the AIDS crisis again, because he's producing a lot of content about it.
Right.
But, like, our generation just has no idea how devastating that was.
That is true.
True. And I don't know if it gets covered in schools, that if you're 13, if you know about the epidemic that removed a generation of gay men.
Yeah. I mean, another thing our friend Robert Ackerman said, he was like, think about like an entire generation of artists in New York gone.
Yeah.
The art that would have happened didn't.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very curious as to like if you're 13 and watching Rent for the first time, like what your context of HIV and AIDS and the crisis is.
Like a footnote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, that the only character who dies is a gay man or now a non-binary person. You know, the straight couple kind of get to make it to the end. And I know a lot of people have been very critical of that.
I mean, I read something last week that said on Out.com, written by Heron Walker, that sort of said that a lot of Rent was taken from a Sarah Schulman novel. So Sarah Schulman made her case about Rent being sort of stolen, ripped from one of her books in a book called Stage Struck, Theater, AIDS, and the Marketing of Gay America. Let's see. She notes the similarities between the Maureen Joanne Mark subplot and the love triangle at the heart of People in Trouble, which is a book that she wrote, and the climactic art-based protests against slumlords and rising rents found in both. So she argues that Rent is sort of a mashup of Labo of Puccini and her book. This is what she says is like the smoking gun. The smoking gun, writes Schulman, is that of the community-wide AZT alarms set to people's watches, meant to remind people living with HIV to take their meds. The detail is found in People in Trouble, and it's based on a real thing Schulman observed that, thanks to advances in HIV medications, were obsolete by the time Larson was writing the book for Rent. So how did it end up in Rent? Simple, says Schulman. Larson stole it from People in Trouble, a book that a mutual friend of both playwrights definitely remembers Larson talking about while working on Rent. The end.
Yeah. Or he knew someone else who told him the same anecdote because they too had witnessed people having AZT alarms.
Sure.
Also, like, that's just a detail of life. You know,
it
you
is
can't
a detail
really.
Of life.
I mean, I feel like the Puccini
right.
thing is like
if someone
so
were
obvious.
Like, yeah. I wrote a book where a woman has an alarm on her phone to take her birth control pill, and then that detail showed up in a movie. Like, I don't think you get a case for that.
This is, I'm merely just presenting a small controversy that I discovered in my research.
I apparently am so hardcore that I'm just going to defend
Jonathan
Larson no matter what.
You know what? That's okay. I just wanted to, I love to gotta see all both sides of a thing.
Yeah.
And now I want to read her book.
I can also see like it influencing, you know, the work. It just seems like that's a little bit different than just like plagiarizing.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, especially if he was reading source material about the era.
Yeah.
Also true. Valid points, everyone. I just, again, just had to present this JIC.
Well, I'm going to read that book, and then okay. I will tell you.
Thank yeah. you. I would welcome it. Thank you so much.
You're just going to rip it into pieces.
To be continued.
Let's see.
Well, so if that raised your hackles, you're going to love this.
Oh, God.
I think Rent is maybe bad.
That's fine. I'll take it.
I love it.
I'll take it, yeah.
I love it, but I think it's not good. Now that I'm, like, watching another thing that I've, like, found as an adult is that it's very...
All right, you're going to have to deconstruct that statement. Like, what part is bad and not good? like, I mean, overall, because, you know, we've just been talking about these things that we love about it. I
again,
agree. It is highly problematic.
Yeah.
And maybe not good. Maybe.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay.
See, I would like to, one, very much separate thinking something's bad and not loving it, where my whole world is based around lowbrow things that I adore. So,
that is true.
I do love it, and I think a lot of that is wrapped up in nostalgia, and a lot of it is wrapped up in kind of the schlockiness of it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, like just sort of the themes that don't age very well, like it feels like this very, it feels kind of cartoony at a certain point where it's just... again, like it just, it's not like a very realistic portrayal of, it's not Angels in America, you
right.
know? And it shouldn't be.
Right.
But it just, I just feel like it has not aged very well. I think a part of that is because we don't understand the AIDS crisis as well as people used to.
Right.
But also I think it is just, like, it's again, it's like pay your goddamn rent. That's like right. all it comes down to.
Right. I mean, it's very of an era, and also I believe that in an earlier draft, Maureen and Joanne also had AIDS, which makes you think more of the Team America World Police, like AIDS
yeah.
aspect
like
of
everyone
Rent,
has AIDS.
Which is like,
right.
Yeah, uh-huh, exactly.
Okay. I think it's okay that they didn't.
I mean, he said, Jonathan Larson said he wanted to create a musical for the MTV generation.
Well, he did.
And he did.
He did it.
I mean, there's like a lot of like... rock musicals that came before mm-hmm. and after. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he
and
really...
And yet Jesus Christ Superstar holds up, oddly enough.
Like I said, I love it. And now that, like, it's... I've had a reason to listen to it again, I will be listening to it for the next month.
Yeah.
And I will be singing it constantly.
Yeah.
Probably better than a lot of people on the show.
Interesting. okay. Cool.
I think that's a very interesting point about Rent fandom and being a Rent head is like, I certainly reached a point in my life where I was like, this thing that I love maybe isn't the masterpiece I thought it was when I was younger.
Ah, yes. A beautiful realization. Painful.
I mean, that's
life.
Just getting older.
It's grown up. Fucking sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I am glad that you still are like hardcore about it. It's also kind of like what like Tumblr has done for like weirdos.
Oh my God.
Rent kind of was like an early
Tumblr?
Like sort of like it created a Tumblr community.
That.
In that it's
that
like queer
nice.
And like diverse and very, you know, kind of this place for like these young, not necessarily outcasts, but like young freaks to young kids who aren't freaky enough to like actually be freaky, but who are
like
freaks
border.
Enough to not feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even
that's
just
nice.
Like if you're not even brave enough to wave your freak flag at that point and you hear or see this and you're like, I'm not the only weird one. Someday I'm going to have a tribe full of weirdos just like me.
Yeah.
Which like definitely happens.
My chosen family, they're waiting for me.
Yeah, my urban tribe. I will find them all when I get to college and get out of this small town.
I do have, like, one last question,
okay.
which is that, so, Bex, you, like, wanted to be an actor and you wanted to do musical theater. Did you ever audition for a Rent song? Or did you ever audition for, or, like audition
with
a Rent song? Or did you ever audition for a Rent role?
You know, I never did. I cannot sing, much to my chagrin, and was never the
one
getting
rolled. You were like straight theater. That's what you were.
Avant-garde postmodern theater, please.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I even when I auditioned for musicals, I used to do a lot of songs from Hair. I don't think I ever wanted to touch Rent because it was like, you know, that bar was set so high that if you came in under it, it was just like, oh, you were even worse.
So true. Funny too, because Hair like kind of set the ground for Rent.
Oh yes, absolutely.
What was your Hair song?
I used to do Air as an audition because it's like cute and charactery, and you get to cough at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're putting on a little bit of a role, blah, blah, blah.
Have you, Maddie?
No. I once, to audition for, like, the special choir in middle school, I sang a song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Which one?
Does not surprise me.
I did just, like, the narrator's opening, like, some folks dream of the wonders they'll do. Like,
yes.
That one. I won't do the whole thing. I won't suffer you through the whole thing now.
I'm ready. If we can do it off, we can do it later.
Oh my God. It's fine. Yeah, I won't make Bex have to. She's worked a full day. She doesn't need that burden. Well, we would love to have you back to talk about musicals anytime.
It's true.
Awesome. I can also talk about non-musical things. I would love to come back. This has been an absolute delight.
Thank you so much, Bex. This has been great. Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Bex Schwartz. This episode was mixed by Jamie Colazzo. Manjana Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. If you want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think, hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. And follow us on Twitter @dirtcastpod. You can find us on Spotify, NPR One, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.